Okay, thanks for introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you enjoy Usenix so far. I'm going to talk about a new mechanism for, namely, hardware extreme throttling to manage the multiple resource. This work is done by me, my advisor, Sandhya Daktas, and Kai Shen at the University of Rochester. First, needless to say, today we have entered into the multi-core era. From Intel to AMD, from PowerPC to Azure Spark, the multi-core chip is a dominant product on today's market, both for the server and for personal PC. Yearly, the last level cache for this chip is shared by all the sibling cores sitting on the same chip. However, such sharing is not well managed either by hardware or by software. This brings a new research challenge to our community. That is, how can we provide good performance isolation on this new kind of chip? Well, a bad performance isolation means poor and unpredictable performance, which is annoying to any system administrators. And also opens the door for a new kind of opens a back door for new kind of denial of service attacks. Now, suppose a malicious application launches aggressive last level cache access and evicts all the cache lines belonging to a victim application. Then the victim application is starved. Fortunately, there has been many solutions being proposed to try to tackle this problem. And usually a full solution includes two parts. The first part is a good mechanism. A good mechanism should be both efficient and practical to deploy. And this is the main focus of this talk. Besides a good mechanism, we also need a good policy to govern such mechanism. Well, a good policy is as important as mechanism, and usually it's not easy to define and find out. However, this part is omitted in this short talk. In the next couple of slides, I'm going to introduce two existing mechanisms and advocating a third one. The first existing mechanism is called software-based page coloring. It's a classical technique originally used to reduce the cache misses. And recently, it has been proposed by many researchers to be used by operating system to manage the cache partitioning. The basic idea for page coloring is that the cache sets are indexed by the physical address of memory pages. So by manipulating which page colors goes to which application, we can partition the cache at the page color granularity, which is a coarse grain granularity. So for example, in this plot, we allocate the page color red and blue to thread A and green to the thread B. By doing so, we equally partition the cache among these two threads. Let's say if the OS decides to change the cache share between the two threads, and thread A is only get 1/4 of the cache, and thread B gets 3/4 of the cache. Now we have to recolor all the memory pages to reflect such changes in the cache share. To be more specific, in this example, that page A2 and A4 are recolored from color blue to red. One thing I want to mention is that page coloring is a pure software solution that does not need any special hardware support, which is good for software developers. The second mechanism is called scheduling quantum adjustment. So the fundamental idea is that we shorten the time quantum of application that overuses a cache. Occasionally, it may let the core idle if there's no other active thread available. For example, in this plot, we have thread A and B running on core 0 and 1 respectively. Let's suppose thread A overuses the cache, and we have to shorten its time quantum. However, A and B are the only available threads on the system, and so we have to let the idle process running periodically on call 0 to reflect such shortened time quantum. The third mechanism is what we are advocating in this talk. It's called hardware execution throttling. So instead of shortening the time quantum, we throttle the execution speed of application that overuses the cache. To be more specifically, we're using two existing hardware features available on Intel core processor. The first controlling knob is called duty cycle modulation. So the hardware can specify a certain portion of the CPU cycles as duty cycles. So the CPU will work only during its duty cycles and stores in non-duty cycles. Originally, duty cycle modulation was designed for thermal control. Let's suppose that one core gets overheated, so it will throttle itself without affecting other core's performance. So it's per core controllable, and different from the existing dynamic voltage and frequency scaling, which is per, processor controllable, meaning all the sibling cores has to be operated at the same frequency. And this is true for the Intel core. The second controlling knob is the cache prefetchers. Today's CPU are equipped with very complex cache prefetching policies and mechanisms. And fortunately, they are all configurable. We found out that there are two prefetchers on the L1 and L2 level cache for the Intel core processor. And the L1, the two prefetchers are namely IP and DCU. The IP prefetcher will just keep track of per instruction load history to detect any stride pattern. And DCU is shortened for the data cache unit. I don't know why they call this name, but I just quote from the menu. It prefetches the next line when it detects multiple loads from the same cache line within a time limit. And the L2 level, there are also two prefetchers. They are better well known. The first one is the adjacent line prefetcher. It automatically prefetches the adjacent line of required data. And the other one is called the streamer prefetcher. It just looks at the stream data for regular pattern, for example, sequential accessing pattern. Here's a brief view of the hardware execution throttling as compared to the previous existing mechanisms. As compared against the page coloring, the hardware execution has two advantages. First, it adds very little complexity to kernel code. It's just 14 lines of code in a single file. As a reference, our page coloring implementation takes more than 700 lines of code and it's crossing more than 10 files. It's just messy. The second advantage is that the hardware execution throttling is very lightweight, extremely lightweight to configure. You just need to read and write a hardware register. For duty cycles, it's just a couple of hundred cycles to configure it. For prefetchers, it takes longer, but still 2,000 cycles. Roughly speaking, there are less than 1 microsecond on a 3 gigahertz CPU. As a reference, the recoloring of page takes 3 microseconds on the same CPU. As compared to the scheduling content adjustments, the hardware execution throttling is of course operate at much finer granularity, as shown by this plot. Now we have three candidate mechanisms: page coloring, scheduling content adjustment, and hardware execution throttling. Our experiments are conducted on a 3 gigahertz Intel dual core processor. Our benchmarks include 3 spec CPU 2000 application, SWIM, MCF, and eQuick, and also 2 server-style application, spec GPU 2005 and spec Web 99. We are running all possible pairwise code schedules for these 5 applications. And our goal is try to evaluate their effectiveness in providing performance fairness. To be more specific, for each mechanism, we tune its configuration offline to find out the best fairness. For details of the configuration, please read our paper. First, in order to evaluate the fairness, we define a fairness factor, unfairness factor. It's defined as the coefficient of variation of co-running application normalized performance. Here, the normalization base is the execution time or throughput of application when it can monopolize the whole chip. And mathematically speaking, the coefficient of variation is defined as the deviation to mean ratio. Here, this plot just highlights the average result and also one instance case that I will deliberate. So, on average, we find out that all three mechanisms are roughly equally effective in improving the fairness. As this plot shows that these all three mechanisms reducing the unfairness factor of the default sharing from 0.2 to below 0.05, which is significantly. And for the case of SWIM and SpecWeb, the page coloring has relatively higher unfairness factor than the other two mechanisms. It is because in this particular case, we have to constrain SWIM to a very small cache sets in order to provide certain quality service performance guarantee to the SpecWeb. However, by constraining SWIM to a very small cache sets, that also means SWIM is only entitled to a very small portion of the total memory pages, which is smaller than its memory footprint, and thus it has to swap in its page to disk, which is bad. So because of these two competing constraints, we cannot achieve lower enough unfairness factor for this case under the page coloring mechanism. Because the scheduling quantum adjustment and the hardware throttling mechanism are non-work conserving mechanisms. We also want to evaluate how their performance compared with the other two, with the default sharing and the page calling. So here we are more interested in the overall system performance. So, and we define a system efficiency as the geometric mean of co-running applications normalized performances. And here again, the results, the average result and the two interesting cases. And the first observation is that on average, all three mechanisms achieve system efficiency comparable to the default sharing. Of course, the page calling is slightly better than default sharing. And for one case, Swim runs together with MCF. This case has severe inter-thread cache conflicts, and therefore it favors segregation. So in this particular case, we found out that the page calling achieves the best system efficiency, beat the other three mechanisms by a large, by a sizable amount. And we also found out that in this particular case, the scheduling quantum adjustment also achieved the second best system efficiency. This is because in this running, we're introducing an idle process to shorten the time quantum for one application, which effectively reduced the co-running time of the two competing applications. And therefore, scheduling quantum adjustment achieved the second best. For the case of MCF runs together with another instance of MCF, we found out that the cache access are well interleaved, and therefore this case favors sharing. So in this particular case, the page calling one achieved the worst system efficiency. And also we found out that by customizing the cache prefetchers, we can even boost the system performance by 6% in the hardware execution throttling mechanism. One thing I want to remind the readers is that here, all these performance measurements are measured in an ideal case, which means the configuration tuning is done offline, and the final results, the performance result, does not include that overhead. So if we are, so if the recurring cost has to be considered in evaluating page calling's performance, then it's really bad. It's prohibitively expensive in a dynamic environment, because without any hardware, special hardware support on existing hardware, recurring a page means memory page copying, which is expensive. We just showed that in earlier of this slide, this talk, it's 3 microseconds on the experimental platform we have. Another drawback for page calling is that it also adds very complex memory management. It introduces a new kind of artificial memory pressure. Recall the example that I gave in the early days of this talk. Say the thread A is only entitled to 1/4 of the total cache, which is labeled as page color red. However, thread A's footprint is 5 pages, A1 to A5, and there's only 3 physical memory pages that are labeled in color red. So in this particular case, thread A is under the memory pressure. However, the whole system is still abundant of memory pages, but they're just in different colors. We have spent quite an amount of efforts trying to tackling these two problems. And if you are interested, please read over Eros's paper. Okay, this is the last slide of my evaluation. The main drawback of scheduling quantum adjustment is that it's coarse grain control and a relatively large scheduling time quantum granularity. To demonstrate this drawback, we did a simple experiment. In this experiment, we are running Swim together with SpecWeb, and we want to artificially slow down Swim's execution speed by half in two different ways. The first method, we'll just add one more idle process to compete against the CPU time, against the Swim on the same call. Here, the idle process has equal priority with the Swim. The second method will just simply throttle Swim's duty cycle to half of its regular speed. And then we measure the performance of SpecGBB on these two cases. As this figure clearly shows that the scheduling quantum adjustment has very large variation in terms of the performance for SpecGBB, which also means the fluctuating service delays for individual transactions that has been served by the SpecGBB, which is an annoying factor for any server quality of service guarantee. As compared to the scheduling quantum, the hardware throttling is relatively stable. The small variation inside of hardware throttling is due to the non-constant interaction between the Swim and SpecGBB. That's the application's characteristic.
Okay.
To summarize my talk, we found out that the hardware exchange throttling is a promising mechanism to provide to manage the multi-core cache. It has following following advantages. First, it's fine-grained control. Second, it's lightweight solution that can heavily reuse existing hardware features. Third, its system efficiency is competitive to default sharing, largely comparable to the scheduling quantum adjustment, only inferior to the ideal page coloring. Remember, it's ideal page coloring. As our future work, we are planning to continue to investigate policy for the online configuration, which is omitted in this short talk. That concludes my talk. At this time, I would like to take any question you may have. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Bill Gallmeister with Azul Systems. Mm-hmm. Very interesting topic. I wonder how you would deploy this in an environment where hyper-threading is available.
Unfortunately, for the hyper-threading, all this hardware thread has to be throttled at the same speed. That's a limitation for this work. We also want to encourage the hardware vendor to think about how can we extend the duty cycle modulation for the hyper-threading environment.
One more question. How do you deal with interrupt handling and other kernel processing that may be going on that core?
If there's any kernel activity, you can just disable the duty cycle, revert it to the regular speed. Once that has been serviced, you can revert it back.
Okay, but that takes a lot of cycles itself to revert.
Right? Yeah, that's 200 to 300 cycles, if you are willing to pay for that overhead for the quality of service at the user level.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So can you help help me with getting some intuition about in what cases, for what workloads was it better to do the duty cycle modulation versus turning off prefetching and so forth? Like, what, do you understand the question?
If I understand correctly, you're asking, the question is, for what situation is it better using this mechanism?
Well, in your graphs here, as opposed to in the paper, you just lump hardware, mechanisms in one plot, right? But there's multiple different components of that. There's the different types of cache prefetching, and then the duty cycle modulation. For what workloads is what better?
Okay. Yeah. The question is that, so for which workload duty cycle modulation is better or worse than the cache prefetching configuration, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
For that, I don't have a detailed answer to that, but my experience that is the duty cycle is more directly predictable. For the cache prefetching configuration, you have to manually tune it to see what's the effect of that cache prefetcher. And in fact, I found out that for certain workload, if you enable prefetcher, that will decrease the performance for the application. So it's better to disable all the prefetchers. Does that answer your question?
Okay, all right.
So following up on that question, the prefetcher stuff is just on or off, but the hardware throttling is a semi-continuous thing. You have several levels. And you mentioned in the paper that you had you'd done a search to find the optimal settings for various things. And I'm wondering, did you find out how sensitive it is? In other words, if the optimal setting is 3/8, how bad is it to be off and be running at 4/8 instead?
For duty cycle modulation, that will not deviate too much. But for the cache prefetcher, it definitely will deviate too much.
In your measurement, did you pin the different programs to the different processors?
Yes.
I'm wondering, you are trying to ensure fairness in cache sharing at the processor level, but ensure fairness at the process level.
Here, fairness is ensured at the performance level, not the hardware resource level, meaning we have to say proportional progress.
For processor or for processes?
For application process.
Okay, so you actually track the mapping from processes to the processors?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's done by the Linux utility sets the CPU affinity.
I'm wondering, what if you don't set the affinity? What will happen? That's actually my key question. So
because here we only have two applications for each code schedule, we only have two applications running on the dual core processor, so it doesn't matter. We don't have too much connect switch.
Okay, I'd like to thank all of our speakers for giving us four very different and very interesting talks.